Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
KMOX Sports.
Come on, let's get going now.
Welcome to the Graybar Sports Open Line.
Wynn swings and he drives that to left field. Back to the track and gone!
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
Now, Matt Pauly and the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
A good Tuesday evening to you. Welcome in. It is a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on at KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly, as you just heard. And I've got you for the next 2 hours. We are taking you till 8 o'clock tonight, a full two-hour program, one of just two this week. We'll do it also on Friday. Short tomorrow for Billikens, and then we've got Countdown to Opening Day coming up on Thursday evening. As always, if you want to chime in, and I'm going to give you an opportunity that I actually want to hear from you. Not I actually want to hear from you. I do want to hear from you. That came off a little bad. I always like hearing from you. I do especially want to hear from you. That would be the better way to say that. I especially want to hear from you in hour number one today, coming up in our next segment and moving forward, because this is I was out on Cardinals Caravan, so I was not hosting yesterday, so this is kind of my Monday, and this is my first opportunity to talk with you about the different storylines, the different themes, the different narratives, whatever word you want to use, that came out of winter warm-up / Cardinals Caravan weekend. And there's a bunch of things I'm going to touch on, but I would be curious to hear from you what stood out to you and how you feel about things. Also today, we'll get into the news of the moment, and that's that we've got three new Baseball Hall of Famers. Ichiro Suzuki, one vote short. There is a baseball voter out there that did not vote for Ichiro, a single one. And Ichiro comes up one vote short of being a unanimous Hall of Famer. I hate that, by the way. Who isn't voting for Ichiro? Who and why? Is it because you got some stupid belief that you can't, like, nobody should be a first ballot unanimous Hall of Famer or something? Like, that's ridiculous. But Ichiro's in. Good for him. CC Sabathia's in. And Billy Wagner's in. So those are three very, very deserving candidates. And next up on the list, not getting in, but based off where the number is at and just based off how voting works, likely to be inducted next year, a former Cardinal in Carlos Beltran. He got just over 70% of the vote, came up less than 20 votes short of being in the Hall of Fame. And generally, when you get to about that number, you're getting in the next year. So in all likelihood, when I am speaking with you on January to whatever it ends up being around this time, January 20-something of 2026, we will likely be discussing a former Cardinal outfielder in Carlos Beltran being elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame. But for now, three very, very deserving candidates. And Ichiro Suzuki, who was incredible in everything that he did. CeCe Sabathia, at his best, Sabathia's best was probably about as good as anybody's best in the last 30 years. He was dominant. And even when he wasn't at his best, he was good. But you think about the guys who are just absolutely unhittable, and that was Sabathia. And then Billy Wagner, one of the best closers of all time. So congratulations to those three guys getting in. And if I was a voter, if I was a Hall of Fame voter, because you can get you can vote for up to 10, you can I would be voting for 10 every year. I've never really gotten to vote on anything really notable. The most important vote that I've ever had in my life was I was one of the voters for the Brewers Walk of Fame, which is kind of like the Cardinals Hall of Fame. And you were allowed to vote for as many people as you wanted. And I never wanted to be the person that stopped somebody from being elected. So I would look at other people's ballots. And if there was somebody, especially somebody who I respected, who voted for somebody, man, I'd really dive in on the research at that point, and I was likely to add them to my ballot, because if somebody came up one vote short of getting on that thing and I didn't vote for them, I can't tell you how terrible I would have felt. I would have felt beyond terrible. So baseball writers are the ones who vote for this. If I was a baseball writer and in the Baseball Writers Association and had my tenure and had a Hall of Fame vote, I'd probably fill that ballot up with 10 every single time. I am a big ballot kind of guy, but I'm glad the three are getting in. You know, sometimes we don't get even that many getting in. I am glad that we're getting three in. From a Cardinal standpoint, here's what I want to get into today, and this is where we'll open up the phone lines in our next segment. And I hope I hear from people today. We'll see. I hope I hear from people today. I'll leave it at that. At 314-436-7900, whether you're calling in, texting in, tweeting at me, at Matt Pauly on air, leaving voice messages on the Odyssey app, if that's how you want to get in contact with us. I'm curious what your takeaways are from the different things that were said this weekend at winter warm-up. I'll tell you the thing that really jumps out at me. The thing that of everything that was said, and there was a lot of important things that were said. Of everything that was said this weekend, the most impactful thing I thought was that John Mozeliak essentially said that if they do not trade Nolan Arenado, they are not going to have to find salary relief elsewhere. And that's a change. That's a change. And we have talked on this show a lot. This show, Gas House Gang, all over the place. One of the things that we have discussed a ton, ad nauseum, just maybe too much, is that previously the thought was you don't trade Nolan Arenado, you still need to find that salary relief somewhere, so all of a sudden it becomes more likely that an Eric Fetty gets traded. It becomes more likely that a Ryan Helsley gets traded. It becomes more likely that those type of things end up happening. And we weren't wrong when we said that. Because I was sitting in a room in Dallas, Texas with John Mozeliak when he made the announcement that the team intended to trade Nolan Arenado. And to paraphrase him, and I could go find the audio if I really needed to. If you don't believe me, I can go find the audio of Mo saying it. But to paraphrase what Mo said that night in Dallas, that essentially there are multiple ways to get down to the payroll number that we need to get down to, but the easiest way to do it would be to trade Nolan Arenado. That was essentially what he said. Again, that's a paraphrase, and I can go find the exact audio if you really, really need it. But I don't think you do. I think you'll believe me. It's pretty well publicized that he said that. So, things have changed. Things have obviously and clearly changed. And that's all right. Like, this is not Mo said this, and now he's saying this. Like, it's okay that things change. They intended to lower payroll by a certain number. That might not happen. And they found a little bit more flexibility. And market forces can change things as well. They, even though when the winter meetings were going on, we had known about the TV deal and we known that gambling had been legalized in Missouri, you don't totally know the impact of it quite yet. And I still don't think you do. As I talked to you at 6:15 p.m. on January 21st, 2025, I would argue that the Cardinals probably still don't know the true impact that sports gambling being legalized in Missouri will have. The TV thing, they should be, and I believe they are, pleasantly surprised by the TV deal that they ended up getting. I think they were prepared to lose more than 23%. They were prepared to lose more than $17 million per year on their TV deal. You go look around baseball and look at the teams that either themselves re-upped with Bally / FanDuel, or you look at the teams that are taking it in-house under the MLB Network umbrella. Most of those teams are losing a whole lot more than the Cardinals are losing in terms of percentage. So that was not as bad as it could have been. So things can change around. And I think it is a good sign that there's not going to be this stated mandate that more salary has to be dumped if you do not trade Nolan Arenado. I don't think that changes their desire to trade Arenado. It doesn't change my desire for the team to trade Arenado. And not because I don't like Arenado, not because I don't think that he might even have a bounce back season this year, not because of the millions of other reasons that people take issue with Arenado. It has nothing to do with Nolan Arenado. It has everything to do with Nolan Gorman. It has everything to do with Thomas Jacy. That's why I want Arenado moved. We are going into a transitional year for the St. Louis Cardinals where it is of the utmost importance that they figure out what they have in some of these young guys. You want to sit there and talk all day about giving young guys runway, then give them the stinking runway. Give it to them. Get Nolan Gorman an everyday job at third base. Give Thomas Sejacy an opportunity to play second and play third and to play short and to get a lot of at-bats and to get, you know, 4 or 5 games a week. Get these guys that opportunity. Because then when kind of that next era of Cardinals baseball with Heim Bloom in charge in 2026 starts, you know what you have and what you don't have. And that has nothing to do with being competitive this year. I think the team absolutely can still be competitive this year, even doing these things that I am talking about right now. So Nolan Arenado is he's been one of my favorite ball players to watch play for a really, really long time. He is 2 years ago, it would have been down between him and Aaron Judge on who I would start a team with and build around. Like that's, I think the world of him, but I've got enough common sense in my head to know where this organization needs to go. And it makes the most sense to move on from Arenado to accomplish what you want to accomplish. But if they can't, and I don't just give him away for nothing. I don't take on 90% of his salary just to move him. Like there's got to be some parameters there. And if you're not going to be forced to move payroll elsewhere because he's around and you end up not finding a deal, you can sit on it. And you can wait to see if an injury happens around baseball. You can wait to see if something else goes down where you can maybe trade him at a later time. What struck you from the winter meetings? 314-436-7900. 314-436-7900. That's how you call. That's how you text. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air. We'll talk to you through this hour is all about reviewing what came out of winter warm-up weekend. We'll chat with you coming up in just a moment here on KMOX.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you. So listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back at it. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly, taking you until 8 o'clock this evening. We will welcome in your phone calls, your text messages, and your tweets, in addition to your voice messages as well. If you want to call or text, the phone number is 314-436-7900. 314-436-7900. That's how you call. That's how you can text. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air, M-A-T-T-P-A-U-L-E-Y on air. Or you can leave a voice message via the Odyssey app. We're talking through what you take away from winter warm-up weekend. A lot was said. I thought the single most important thing was that if Nolan Arenado does not get traded, the Cardinals do not feel like that they have to move on from other players to hit a certain salary, payroll number. I thought some of what Wilson Contreras had to say was interesting, what Sonny Gray had to say, both those guys talking about wanting to be in St. Louis and believing in this team. There was an overwhelming narrative from players, management, everybody, that this team might overperform what the expectations are for this year. So obviously a lot of more positive theme type stuff coming out, but I thought there were a number of interesting things. So again, we'll take your phone calls, your text messages, and your tweets, 314-436-7900. Let's start with Barbara, who has given us a call. Hey, Barbara, you're on Sports Open Line.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call. And I wanted to tell you, I want them to keep Arenado. I went down to the Cardinals to watch him and to get his pin at the stadium, and they were sold out of his pin and his jerseys and everything. And he's a superstar. And basically, he was so great to look at on the field because he jumps around like a little rabbit, and he's running around and catching the balls, and he's a superstar on third base. And he's a great player. And he's a good hitter, too, because he hit a lot, and they won the game.
Barbara, how does it impact you if having him on the team stops the team from getting an opportunity to look out players who are going to be a big part of the team in the future?
Well, I think the Cardinals, they're doing very well. And they, and like you said on the radio, they got a contract with the television stations, and now have the television station. And basically, they can get money from players and for players, and also they have, the DeWitts are very rich people, and they're very good people. So I'm hoping they can keep Arenado.
All right, Barbara, appreciate the phone call. If you want to chime in, you can do so. 314-436-7900. 314-436-7900. That's how you call. That's how you text. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauley on air, MattPauley on air. Text message from the 314 saying, I think the most impactful note from winter warmup is the DeWitt's claiming that the Cardinals operate at a loss some years. Yeah, the optics of stating that are not great. When you've got an organization that is worth as much as the Cardinals are worth, and the value of the team is always increasing, I get where fans push back. I'm not trying. So if I'm in that position, those words probably are not coming out of my mouth, because from an optic standpoint, I think fans get frustrated when they hear those sort of things, because again, yeah, the main thing here is the overall value of the franchise is continuing to go up. So let me just, so my reaction to that is, if you take the value of the team going up and up and up and up and up, and you put that off to the side, and it is strictly like a profit and loss statement, are there years where their expenses are higher than their revenues? I can buy that. I can buy that. I don't think that's a lie. Now, look, there's also, you know, what revenues are you talking about? Are you only talking about revenues connected to the ball club? Are you talking about revenues connected to Ballpark Village? Like, there's just so many ways. So when I hear from the DeWitts that there are some years that they operated a loss, I don't think he's lying. I don't think the optics are great, because the organization overall is worth more and more, and there are other revenue sources and things like that. So I understand why a fan would hear that and be a little bit frustrated. I would also say this. That is something that is being said in many baseball markets. I don't know if you saw this. So Ricketts, the owner of the Cubs, he went on their radio home in Chicago on 670 The Score, and he basically said the exact same thing. Now, it's one thing to say that when you're the owner of the St. Louis Cardinals and you are in the market size that you're in. It is a completely other thing to say that when you are in Chicago, when you are one of the single most profitable teams in all of baseball, where you are one of the leaders from a negative standpoint, where you're one of the leaders in baseball in spending the least amount of team total revenue on your roster. So essentially Ricketts went out and said, yeah, we just try to not lose money each year. Like, that is, if I was a Cubs fan, oh my gosh, I would be angry. I would be so incredibly angry. Like a moment ago when I'm talking about the DeWitts, and I say, you know, depending on what equation you use, what you consider as baseball revenue and what you don't consider as baseball revenue, like, I don't think he's lying. He's just, you know, you can make the statement that he made, and even if the optics on saying it aren't fantastic, he's not lying, right? I don't think DeWitt is lying when he says that. When Ricketts says it, he is lying. That is not truthful. That is a 100% blatant lie. The lack of respect for Cubs fans that Ricketts has by saying that is astounding. It's astounding that he could say that. When you are the Chicago Cubs, when you sell out every single game, when you have everything about the Cubs, they print money at Clark and Addison. It is crazy, crazy that he could say that. So my point is, all owners say some version of that, right? Like, within reason. Maybe not the Dodgers owner. Maybe not the Mets owner. Maybe not the Yankees owner. I get it. But if the Cubs owner can say it, anybody can go out and say that. So if I'm making the decisions on what messages I want the Cardinals to send, my first message is not that some years they make money and some years they lose money, because fans just don't want to hear that, especially when the organization is worth $2 billion or whatever it's worth. But I also think the other side of it that was important, and this was the part that was lost, and of everything that DeWitt said that went along with it, I think is important. So they're essentially saying that they, you know, some years they make a little money, some years they lose a little bit of money in terms of, you know, the way the statement looks. They want to continue to operate the team in that fashion, with the idea that this is still a long-term play for them. And there's been a lot of speculation out there. It's been going on for a while. Probably started all those years ago when Mike Shannon went on the broadcast and said, hey, he heard that the DeWitts were going to sell the baseball team. I can't tell, like, I hate even mentioning this because I get frustrated by it. I can't tell you how often we get text messages from people, oh, the DeWitts are going to sell, or they're going to move the team out of St. Like, they're not moving the team out of St. Louis. It's that the Cardinals are here. The Cardinals still make a lot of money. Ballpark Village makes a lot of money. Like, this is a machine. People bring up Nashville all the time. You know what? If you take the St. Louis Cardinals organization and just lift it up and drop it in Nashville, it becomes a lot less profitable at a snap of a finger. Not because Nashville isn't a great market, not because Nashville is a better market than St. Louis in many, many ways, unfortunately, with the way that Nashville has transformed itself into an amazing city, and St. Louis can't get out of its freaking way when it comes to things. Not because of any of that, but because of who Cardinals fans are and what the Cardinals represent. So if you have, like, with all due respect to everybody listening to me right now, if you have this belief that the Cardinals are not going to be in St. Louis at some point in the next few years, however long that might be, like, you're wrong. They're staying here. There's no reason. Like, this is why I don't even like talking about it, because it's such an absurd idea that they could ever move on. Is it an absurd idea that the DeWitts could sell the Cardinals at some point? No, that's not an absurd idea. Anything is for sale at any given moment if the price is right, right? But from the way the DeWitts are operating the team, and from what they're saying, where they're continuing to operate it as a business that they intend to own for a very long time, that's an important part. The DeWitts don't plan to go anywhere. If a super billionaire walks into St. Louis and walks into Bill DeWitt Jr.'s office and says, I want to own a baseball team and this is how much I'm willing to pay, and it's an incredible number, would it be impossible for the team to get sold at some point again? No, but that's not what they're thinking right now. They intend to keep this team for quite some time. So yes, the impactful note about what the Cardinals say in terms of sometimes operating at a loss, but it's the other side of that as well. The reason that is brought up is because the DeWitts are making it very clear that they intend to keep this team in the family for a very long time moving forward, and it continues to be a long-term play for them. 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. That's how you call. That's how you text. You can tweet at me if you'd like, at Matt Pauley on air, MattPauley on air. What are your takeaways from winter warm-up weekend? We had a lot of interviews over the few days. It's always one of my favorite weekends of the year. We'll talk through anything Cardinals-related that you would like to discuss. We're back with more in just a moment. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley. We're doing kind of our winter warm-up post-mortem, taking away everything that was said over the 3 days of winter warm-up. I realize that, I guess technically it ended yesterday, so it's the day after the end of warm-up. Yesterday, Joe Pott was in, and then we had the coaches show for an hour. I was out on Cardinal Caravan, so it's my first Sports Open Line since winter warm-up did officially wrap up. So we welcome your phone calls, your text messages, your tweets, and your voice messages. If you want to call or text, the phone number, 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. That's how you call, that's how you text. Tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air. Or if you're listening via the Odyssey app, you can just click the voicemail button and record yourself, and that comes right into the studio. I was taken aback a little bit by this text message. This text says, quote, they're from the 314. I think that if the Cardinals want to continue to keep fans engaged, instead of just telling them to hang in there and be patient, maybe start putting some money back into the fans with more theme nights or better giveaways or something. When they had Yachty tumblers, those games would sell out. I'm not trying to be disrespectful to the person who texted in, but I also question, like, are you paying attention? Like, if I'm being very blunt about this. The Cardinals have a theme night, sometimes multiple theme nights, almost every single game. The giveaways that they do are awesome. Their promotions and marketing teams and everybody involved with both theme night and theme night giveaways and also the promo night giveaways are there. If you go compare what the Cardinals do from a giveaway standpoint to what a lot of other teams do, the Cardinals are really leading the way. Their giveaways are awesome. And I'm not saying that as somebody like who wants to, you know, kiss the backside of the Cardinals. I'm somebody who gets these giveaways and loves them personally. I have them in my, if you ever watch the Gas House Gang, you'll see in my background a lot of the giveaway items that the Cardinals do. So they're really good. And they always have Tumblr nights. They do. I don't know if games are selling out as much for giveaway items anymore. I think some giveaway items, some bobbleheads are absolutely going to result in more people going through the turnstiles. So other giveaways, you know, something that my daughter looks forward to every year is the Build-A-Bear game, where there's a, you know, a teddy bear that you get when you walk in and things like that. But I read that text message and it befuddles me because I think so highly of what the Cardinals do from a theme night perspective and from a giveaway perspective. I think they're absolutely fantastic. Kyle Sixt is here. You've done a lot of work over there as well, so you get your hands on some of these things. They're awesome.
Yeah, they're fantastic. The Cardinals do amazing with their theme nights. No complaints from me. Like you said, almost every night it seems they're doing something. So I don't think that's quite the solution for the Cardinals here.
Yeah, I'm looking right now just at some of the giveaways that they're going to have this year and some of the different theme nights that they have this year. And it's really, really, really good stuff, and it's fun stuff. So I think in that area, the Cardinals are doing everything that they can do. Could they do more like all fan giveaways Monday through Thursday as opposed to weekends? I guess, but I don't think that's going to draw that many more people in. Again, there's theme night giveaways. If you get the theme ticket for almost all those nights. So I really appreciate you listening. I appreciate you taking the time to text. I would respectfully disagree with the premise of your text message. Now, taking that one step further, and something that I know the Cardinals are working on right now internally, and we'll see what it looks like when we get to opening day, the game day atmosphere, like the show, the presentation has to be better. Has to be better. If you walked into this iteration of Busch Stadium on opening day in 06 when the ballpark opened, and you walk in there at any point in 2024, well, like the presentation of the game wasn't all that different. There were differences because time has moved along. I feel like the presentation in some ways has gotten stale. That's one of the things Anouk Kurunturante, who took over for Dan Farrell in the front office, coming over from Toronto. One of the things that I'm most excited about his impact on the organization is what it's going to look like. You know, I get it. For a lot of Cardinal fans, you're listening to me talk right now, and it's all about the baseball. It's all about the baseball. It's about winning, and it's about losing, and the other stuff doesn't matter. But I think we would be naive to sit here and say that it doesn't actually matter. And I bring up Toronto for two reasons. A, that's where Anouk came from. And two, that was one of the places that I got to go this past season on a Cardinals trip. And the Cardinals and the Blue Jays had similar records. Neither team headed to the playoffs this past year. And for the Cardinals, when they're not doing things that are overly compelling on the field, the environment can feel stale. For the Blue Jays, when they are doing things that are not overly compelling on the field, the environment at the games is still, it's a party. It's still a rocking atmosphere. And it didn't take anything away from the baseball. That's what I think some people get worried about that. They're going to say, hey, this is St. Louis. This is St. Louis. This is baseball comes first. Yeah, it does. Baseball does come first. But that doesn't mean that you can't do things at the game that make it a whole lot of fun. And where you can walk out of a ball game after a night where your team lost and you could still enjoy the time that you were there. And not that you don't enjoy. I mean, I think anytime you get a chance to go to a ball game at Busch Stadium, it's something that's special. But there are parts of the presentation that have gotten stale over the years, and they need to freshen it up a little bit. Even the pregame stuff. You know, again, going back to Toronto, I remember sitting there before the games, and they basically had almost like, for lack of a better term, like a reality show on the TV, where not reality show is bad, like almost like a documentary. That'd be a better way. I forget who it was, but it was almost like a documentary following a player, a day in the life of somebody. And it was really well done. The production value was great. And people sitting there got to learn something about player. Like it was a show. The way they did things was really good. So I'm hopeful that the Cardinals can do some of that. You do have to thread that line where it can't all of a sudden become like a party where there happens to be a baseball game going on. It always has to be a baseball game where other stuff is going on, but that other stuff can certainly be more engaging to a fan base, where when the Cardinals aren't playing well, we saw what happened the past 2 years from an attendance standpoint. The environment was not as fun to be in, where there are some places where just the experience of going to the ball game brings a little bit more. So even in years where maybe the team isn't performing quite as well, you're still seeing something that's pretty entertaining. So again, it's a really tough line that the organization has to cross, because in St. Louis, of all places, in St. Louis, it could never get to a point where the other stuff is more important than baseball. Baseball always has to be the single most important thing. If you go to a Colorado Rockies game, you're paying a cover charge at a bar, and there happens to be a baseball game going on. That's not what it needs to be, but they can definitely freshen some things up inside of Busch Stadium. This is Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on KMOX.
Starting to wrap up hour number one of the program. We're going almost all baseball today. It is our post-mortem of winter warm-up Cardinals caravan. I gotta say, I always enjoy sharing my Cardinal caravan stories. It's so much fun. It's one of my favorite things to be able to do, and I always am so appreciative of the Cardinals for inviting me to come along on these things, because it's pretty darn cool. I was gone on Sunday and Monday. I met a lot of folks in the great cities of Marion, Illinois, Evansville, Indiana, Paducah, Kentucky, and Cape Girardeau, Missouri. The number one thing, not to take anything away from Sports Open Line, because I know a lot of people, not just in St. Louis, but throughout the region, and a lot of Cardinal fans listen to this show. But what really struck me was, we have made an impact already with our Gas House Gang show. I had more people come up to me over the last 2 days and tell me how much they are enjoying watching or listening or just taking in the Gas House Gang on an everyday basis. So we haven't been doing that long. We're not even, I don't even think we're 60 shows in. We're probably in the mid-50s at this point. And a lot of people have taken notes. So that is, that's pretty cool. Just, it's always good for me to go out on these things, because you remember who a lot of the fans are and how big of a deal. And I had a fun group. I went out with Thomas Sajacy, Chris Roycroft, Kyle Leahy, Sim Robersa, Al Roboski, and Kerry Robinson. And we had a really, really good time. It was fun. And just the way we're treated in all these various cities when we come in is just it's a really cool experience. I'll say this. So I always have at least one story from winter warm-up of something that happens. And Kyle, this year we got to we were leaving Evansville. We got indication that maybe something wasn't quite right with the bus, but then we got on the bus and we rolled. And then we do our we go to Paducah, Kentucky. We do our whole thing in Paducah. We're getting set to leave, and we are told, "Yeah, the bus isn't working."
Oh no!
So our bus had some sort of suspension issue or something with it. It was not going to get fixed. So we're stuck in Paducah for a while. The folks that the Cardinals send out, like the staff members who operate these things and coordinate everything, amazing people. And between folks in St. Louis and folks on the ground there in Paducah, we were able to obtain, it was three cars that from a rental car place that they could do one-way rentals on. So, there, you know, we've got a traveling party of like 12 to 15 people. They unloaded the bus into the three cars, got everything, you know, all of our luggage, everything that we had, and they got it into the cars, and they got all of us into the cars. And we were a little bit late to Cape Girardeau, but we still made our final stop in Cape Girardeau. And one of the things that I thought was really cool of all of it, like the two things. First off, how hard everybody with the Cardinals worked to get these cars and get this thing going. It was not a great situation. But also, the players and the alumni that I mentioned that were all there, not a single one of them complained. Not a single one of them, you know, grumbled about being stuck in Paducah for a few hours or being forced off the comfortable bus and into the cars and everything. Like, everybody was just all in on this. So it ended up being a good story out of a not so great situation.
That's cool, especially with the players. They didn't have to be cool about that. That's such an unfortunate situation, and to make the best out of it, that's awesome.
Yeah, both Kyle Leahy and Chris Roycroft started like throwing. They had a glove and a mitt inside the convention center.
That's awesome.
And they were doing some work on the side. I think they each needed to get their arms loose a little bit. They wanted to find some time, so they found the time right there, and each of them took time. And that's interesting, being next to big league pitchers who are, you know, throwing inside of a ballroom at a convention center. But that's what I experienced yesterday. It's kind of interesting to see.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on King MOX.
Back at it. We'll jump right back into Cardinals here in just a moment, but I got to ask Maria Kina something. Yes. She just did a newscast, and you mentioned frost quakes.
Yes.
I have never heard of a frost. Are we just making new things up now?
I don't know.
I feel like a frost... If there's really loud noises that are coming as a result of cold weather and ice and stuff, I don't feel like that just all of a sudden becomes a thing in 2025.
I agree with you. And in all the time that I've been doing news and weather reports, I've never heard of a frost quake.
A frost quake. It sounds like something that you get at Dairy Queen.
It totally does. Yes. I would like two frost quakes,
two
please.
Frost quakes, yeah.
And, but,
cookies,
you know,
and cream.
I heard something the other night that it sounded like a car that crashed into another car. So I ran out there to look, and nothing had happened. It was just as silent as anything. And I thought, well, that's kind of weird. So then the next day, the frostquake story comes out.
Frostquake.
So I'm like, I don't know. I guess it's a thing, but we've had cold temperatures here before.
Yeah, that
like
shouldn't
this.
Be a new phenomenon. Uh-uh. Yeah.
And you were in Milwaukee. Certainly they would have it up there.
You would think. I've never heard of a frostquake. And I worked for a radio station very similar to KMOX. So I feel like if there was a frostquake story to be done, they would have done that at my previous station.
It's like, remember polar vortex? We had never heard of that before. We hadn't heard of any of that stuff. I think,
but we experienced that thing was real.
Oh, it was
that
totally
vortex
real.
Was real. That was terrible.
But I think from a climatological standpoint, things are changing so much that they're just giving them names.
Probably. That's the only time in my life where I would have my car in my garage. And I would still go turn it on at night and drive it around because I had zero confidence that it would start in the morning.
That was brutal, that one.
And I was living in Wisconsin at the time. That was, that's a, so I, I lived in Iowa at one point, and I was like, oh, okay, this is a different kind of cold than I ever had in St. Louis. And then later in my life, I lived in Wisconsin, and that took the, like, that is, that's a new level of cold when it gets cold there. And you get your first snow, like, here in about a week or so, we probably won't see any snow. We've got like 10 right. straight days of 40 and above coming up once we get through what we're going through right now. And then all the snow will melt. In Wisconsin, you get that first snow, and you don't see it go completely away until you, and there's some places where it's May or June.
Oh my
when
gosh.
You finally see the snow piles completely gone.
Really?
Yeah. Always there. You don't see the sun for like 3 months.
Oh my gosh.
It's terrible. It's terrible. They know how to plow their streets there, but it's terrible.
I like that little yeah, dig you
yeah.
got in there.
They know how to plow. Yeah. So thank you, Maria.
Thank you.
That's Maria Kina taking care of news tonight here on KMOX. If you want to join us, you can do so. 314-436-7900. 314-436-7900. That's how you call. That's how you text. You can tweet at me at Matt Pauly on air. We're talking through Cardinals and kind of doing a postmortem of everything that came out of a winter warm-up weekend. Got a text message from the 618 that says, I'm so excited for Cardinals baseball. I have faith in this team. I'll take everything that comes with it, wins, losses, business decisions, management decisions, stadium fans, team position changeups, and even cynical or pessimistic attitudes. I may not be the best informed person in the world of baseball, but I do know one thing. I am still learning and love the game. Cardinals fans who are frustrated with the way things are right now or the way things maybe where this organization got to, I think it's totally fine. Totally, you have every right to be frustrated. They have not been a playoff team for a couple years. The decisions, many of the decisions that they've made have not worked. And they have not, from an optic standpoint, look like a legit World Series contender in most years in recent history. Now, I will say the Pujols year, 2022, when they lost to the Phillies, man, I thought they had a chance for a deep playoff run that year. I did. I thought that team was something that could really turn into something, and it didn't work out, and I don't like relitigating that Phillies series, but that they could have easily taken that first game of every single game since I have been back covering this team. That's the one, that game one against the Phillies. That's the one that sticks with me the most. And I always kind of wonder, how different does the future look if they go on a deep playoff run? Let's say they get to the NLCS that year and they still end up losing, and you know, not that they're a World Series team, but let's say they get to the NLCS, because there was so much optimism about where the organization was at coming off that special, special, magical summer where we watched Pujols do what he did. And they sat back way too much. Now, we can say that now. I always try to be fair in my self-assessment. I wasn't saying that offseason. I missed that one too. I was wrong. I thought they were in really good shape and that they could make, you know, some small tweaks and that they would be in good shape for 2023. And obviously losing 90 plus games, they were not. So I, along with many people, got that one wrong. But yeah, I got that one wrong. The organization got that one wrong. But does it look any different if they don't lose that series to the Phillies and they go on a deep playoff run? Does it look any different the next year? Are they still a 90 plus loss team? I don't know. Probably. But I can't say for sure. And that's one of the odd things about some, you know, the nature of baseball from one season to the next. I really believe it. I do. Again, I don't get everything right. I know that. But I think this team is going to outperform expectations this year. Now, part of that is connected to the fact that expectations are low. They've got the exact same odds to win the division as the Pittsburgh Pirates. That's where the expectations are at. Expectations are low. So outperforming those expectations, if you're the fourth place team in the division, but you outperformed expectations because the Pirates are the fifth place team and you had better divisional odds than the Pirates, but that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is a team that, from a win-loss record, can kind of be what they were this past year. Be a team that is contending for a playoff spot, maybe even contending for the division. I'm not impressed by anything that's Kyle Tucker going to the Cubs is notable, but that doesn't turn them into a World Series contender. That doesn't turn them into a juggernaut of the NL Central. And I've been, again, under the category of things I might get wrong, I've been telling you all offseason that I expect the Cubs to do more, that I thought the Cubs had a couple more splashes left in them this offseason. And then what happens, their owner goes out during their convention and says, well, we're just trying to not lose money. Okay. Like, what are you doing, Cubs? But like, I'm happy with you. I'm not rooting for the Cubs to do something more, but they can if they choose to, if they want to. And this is a great opportunity to do it. The Brewers are the Brewers. We devalue them every year in the offseason, and then they go win the division. The Reds are the most talented team in the division from a raw talent standpoint, but they're not putting the pieces around that team to get them set to win at a high level. Now, if they get off to a really hot start, maybe things change and they've got a Hall of Fame manager now in Terry Francona. But I've said this a million times and I will keep saying it. I will keep saying it until the moment that it's clearly not true anymore. And I hope I just am able to keep saying it. If Jordan Walker and Nolan Gorman take big steps forward, it's a big if, huge if. But we should be very, and we'll talk about this more later on in the program. If Jordan Walker's exuberance, giddiness that he had at winter warmup about the changes that are being made with him and Brant Brown, if that's legit, if that gets him back on the track that he was previously when he was one of the top prospects in all of baseball, if Brant Brown really unlocks Nolan Gorman and he becomes a middle of the order 30 plus home run guy, the Cardinals are going to be a better team this upcoming season than they were this past year. If those two things happen, because then that makes up for the offense that you did not get from Nolan Arenado and the offense that you did not get from Paul Goldschmidt this past season. Daniel Guerrero is one of the Cardinals beat writers for the Post-Dispatch and STL Today. He had a busy weekend at winter warmup. We'll get his thoughts on what he heard over the course of the 3 days. That's next. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Back at it on a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. We are taking until 8 o'clock this evening. This is the first time we've been able to talk to this guy since the Post-Dispatch shuffled a few things. Ben Fredrickson left, Lynn Worthy moved from being a Cardinals beat writer to being a sports columnist. And Daniel Guerrero, who has done just an incredible job previously covering the Cardinals, but also covering the Cardinals with a focus on what's going on from a prospect and minor league standpoint. He has moved into a more prominent role covering the Cardinals, and I know he's going to continue to do prospects and things like that as well. But part of that tandem with Derek Gould, and we do welcome Daniel on the program right now. So before we get to anything, congratulations on kind of your position changing a little bit with the Post-Dispatch and STL Today. I know everybody who knows you was really happy for you that you have an even more prominent role here moving forward.
Hey, Matt, thanks for the invite and thank you for the congratulations. You know, I'm excited to continue to bring Cardinals coverage for readers. And I'm excited to continue staying with the Post-Dispatch.
I want to throw kind of just this broad question at you, and then we'll focus in a little bit more. But 3 days of winter warm-up and press conferences and things being said, as you get done covering that over the 3 days, was there a single thing or a single moment or something that stood out to you as being most notable or more notable than most of the other things that were said?
Yeah, I mean, winter warm-up's always an interesting weekend because you kind of get a sense of what the Cardinals are going to look like in the coming year. And I think when you look at all the players that we had a chance to talk with, and obviously we got a chance to talk with the coaching staff and the front office and ownership. But I think the one thing that really sticks out is Jordan Walker's enthusiasm heading into 2025. And you look at the confidence, you look at more of the size that he's put on. I mean, he's continued to grow. And you just hear him talk about the process of hitting, working with Brant Brown, the Cardinals' new hitting coach. And you definitely see a Jordan Walker that not only just kind of oozes confidence and but just has sort of this, you know, pep in his step and this demeanor that, you know, he's ready to roll into 2025 after a couple of rough years of having, you know, to kind of go up and down from the majors to minors and, you know, have struggles in between and flashes of success at both levels. But you look at Jordan Walker coming into this year and some of the changes that he talked about that he's been working on. I mean, you definitely get a sense that that he's ready to take that next step and become that centerpiece of the Cardinals lineup that, you know, he was projected to be as a prospect coming up.
The arc of his storyline is so interesting because he had that long hitting streak at the beginning of his career, but then the Cardinals weren't happy with him hitting it on the ground so much. And basically, after that hitting streak ended, he got benched for a while to work on things early in the day. And then eventually they sent him to Memphis and he came back and had a pretty solid second half of the season. And then last year really struggled. We had the weird thing where he got brought up, but he wasn't playing and they sent him back down. I mean, if there's anybody who has every reason to not have confidence, it's Jordan Walker, in large part because of the way he's been handled. Yet here we are, and everything you said is correct. It feels like Brant Brown and the things that they're working on has reinstilled him with all the confidence in the world.
Right. And it really, I mean, like you mentioned, I mean, that shuffle and kind of the expectations that he had coming into this as, you know, at 20 years old, I mean, there are a lot to put on the shoulders of somebody that young, somebody who's sped through the minor league system like that. And you know, I think throughout even the last couple of years, you saw a lot of kind of the same personality with Jordan. I mean, he made clear that, you know, he had never lost sort of that, you know, feel or excitement or just kind of the passion for hitting and the passion for baseball. I mean, he's always been kind of that same guy, but I mean, when you think about all that shuffle, I mean, it can be easy for somebody, especially that young, to, you know, feel down on themselves of not living up to expectations. But I mean, he seems like somebody who is primed for a big year, and, you know, with the Cardinals heading into what they're, you know, calling this reset, and, you know, turning it over to the young guys with Jordan, Mason, and, you know, a lot of the other guys on in that clubhouse. I mean, and you look at Jordan Walker and kind of where he fits into that, to the puzzle. I mean, he seems like, you know, he's ready for that spotlight.
When it was first initially indicated by John Mozeliak that they wanted to move on from Nolan Arenado, there was a baseball side of it with giving young guys an opportunity to play, but there was a money side of it as well because they wanted to reduce payroll. And then we heard over the weekend that they're at a point now where even if they don't trade Arenado, they don't feel like they're forced to make other moves, trading Eric Fetty, trading Ryan Helsley, all the other things that they could potentially do. How important is it that seemingly has changed a little bit from where they were at winter meetings to where they're at right now, that there's not as much of a consequence from a payroll standpoint if they don't end up trading Arenado?
Right, and yeah, that was something that, you know, Cardinals ownership had talked about with Bill DeWitt Jr., Bill DeWitt III meeting with local reporters. But I think what you mentioned, you know, obviously that is more of like the payroll aspect of it. But I think probably one of the bigger things to look at, I guess, like from my point of view that I'm seeing, is sort of the on-field influence of that, right? Because, you know, if Nolan Arenado, you know, shows up in spring training and, you know, still a Cardinal and plays, say, begins the year and, you know, the year starts off with Nolan Arenado still on this team, that, you know, would potentially prevent, you know, an avenue for somebody like, you know, Nolan Gorman playing, you know, a little bit of third base, or Thomas Ajayi getting some time in the infield, whether that's at third or second base or, you know, whatever kind of role they use him in, that utility spot. I mean, Brandon Donovan's also another guy where, I mean, he's, you know, had a secure spot on the team, but, you know, if there's sort of this still presence at third base with Arenado and, you know, that kind of clogs things up in sort of the calculus of, you know, playing time, I think that's one thing kind of to look for. But yeah, but I mean, it definitely does seem like from the payroll aspect that although trading Nolan Arenado, as John Mozeliak put it, is priority 1, 2, and 3, that if it doesn't get done before spring training, that, you know, you should still expect sort of the same, I guess, makeup of the Cardinals roster as it is.
You allude to it, but let's go at it very directly. If they don't trade Nolan Arenado, the cost of that is potentially Thomas Tejesi not being on the team. Certainly, if he is on the team, not getting the at-bats that you want him to get. It's Nolan Gorman not being able to go over to third base. You might force Lars Nootbaar into center field because you're forced to play Brendan Donovan in left if you want to have Gorman at second. Like, you touched on it, but there are clear ramifications to Nolan Arenado being on the roster.
Right. I mean, there are a lot of moving parts to this. I mean, and then there's an emphasis especially on that because if, you know, they're talking about a reset and, you know, letting the young guys have every opportunity to play at the major league level, as, you know, what's been made clear by the front office and ownership, that is a huge part of it. And then it's not only, you know, with Donovan and left field, but I mean, there's also other guys, right, where, you know, there's going to be some outfield competition with, you know, Michael Ciani and Victor Scott. And you know, there are a lot of, you know, different moving parts, like, as you mentioned, where if Nolan Arenado isn't able to be moved, then I think that does heighten the competition, you know, for that opening day roster if Arenado is still a Cardinal at that point. But I mean, it does feel like that is a priority of getting young guys playing time, and, you know, an Arenado finding a landing spot for him is a pretty crucial part of that.
We're talking with Daniel Guerrero, Cardinals beat writer for the Post-Dispatch and also STL Today. We heard from both Wilson Contreras and Sonny Gray, and each of them went in a little bit on their decisions to not waive the no-trade clause and how much they believe in this team and not wanting to take the easy route. Daniel, it's really easy to say this on January 21st, but... And what else, I guess, are you going to say? But while these outside expectations for the team have been lowered, internally, it feels like to me there's a group of guys there that feel like that they can be a whole lot better than people are saying they're going to be. Do you believe that that's a possibility?
When it comes to, like, I guess projections, I mean, that certainly could be one way to look at it. And, I mean, it really could be. I mean, because you have so many guys who – are in kind of that, like, early 20s age range where, you know, you expect them to grow and develop and expect them to take that leap at the major league level. I know we touched on, you know, with Jordan Walker a little while ago, and, you know, Mason Wynn's another guy. I think Nolan Gorman, if, you know, he's able to kind of hold that consistency of some of of what we've seen from him in the past, right, of being that, you know, left-handed presence in a lineup. You know, another guy like Lars Nootbaar, I mean, obviously he's shown a lot of, you know, advanced metrics that, you know, are very promising. And, you know, if he can stay on the field, that could be a big piece of it too. But, yeah, I mean, you certainly get a sense that, you know, this Cardinals team, although, you know, they're heading into a reset from an organizational standpoint, that there are guys who are hungry. There are guys who feel like they're not that far off. And that was one thing, as you mentioned, with Sonny Gray. You know, with him and Wilson being clear that they want to stay here, but Sonny Gray was very clear that, you know, that he feels like the Cardinals aren't that far off, especially within the division, that he's confident that this team can compete and this team can go out and win some games. I mean, and he's been a part of a few different organizations that have, you know, had young guys succeed. I mean, he was in Oakland A for a while, and that was one of the things that, you know, that you can point to in Sonny Gray's history where, you know, there was a team that kind of let the young guys produce, and they produced, and there is certainly that belief with a lot of the guys in the Cardinals clubhouse. And, you know, it's something that, you know, if maybe on paper it might not feel very exciting, but I mean, if guys take steps forward, then that certainly can be a possibility.
Last thing for you, we're talking with Daniel Guerrero from the Post-Dispatch. As someone who has spent so much time covering the Cardinals minor league system and Cardinals prospects, how important do you deem it that this team gets better at player development, the goal of Heim Bloom and the organization, the very loudly stated goal of this offseason?
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be a huge part of it. And the Cardinals have taken some steps in that. One of the major things is the staffing that they've kind of bolstered at the minor league level. There are a lot of additional coordinators and roving instructors that weren't some coordinator positions that weren't filled in previous years. I mean, you know, they hired a catching coordinator. There's a base running coordinator with Jose Leher, filling that latter role of being kind of an assistant field coordinator and base running coordinator after he was a manager at AA for a few years. That's a sign that the Cardinals are investing in player development and providing resources. But yeah, overall, I mean, it will be a big year, and you know, we're going to see some of the top prospects in big league camp to start spring with J.J. Weatherholt and Quinn Matthews and Chase Davis. But overall, I mean, the Cardinals are entering a year where they have a, you know, the number five draft pick, and you know, the lottery, you know, kind of turned in their favor with the draft pick lottery. But yeah, this is going to be a big year for a lot of Cardinals prospects to start taking steps forward. Because that is something that the organization has prioritized, not that they haven't in the past, but I mean, as they kind of go into this reset and overhaul, you know, you results, you know, will be important to see.
There's a clear scenario, Daniel, where we get to August or September and Mason Wynn and J.J. Weatherholt and Quinn Matthews and you know, maybe Tink Hentz. Like there's mm-hmm. a pathway for all of those guys to be on the big league roster together towards the end of the season. That's another exciting part of what's going on here.
Yeah, and I mean those three guys you mentioned, especially you know with Tink and needing to see him, you know, just stay healthy and put together a full season as a starter. Obviously J.J. Weatherholt, the guy you mentioned who, you know, seventh overall pick, had a really, really strong showing in low A, and will get a good look in big league camp to, around the major league staff. But I mean, and you can also throw in maybe Tekoa Roby in that kind of in that bucket. I mean, maybe Cooper Jerpy is somebody who can surprise if, you know, if he's able to stay healthy as well. These are all guys that the Cardinals are looking at as, you know, cornerstones for the future. And, you know, they're starting to add resources around them that they haven't had in the past. And, you know, like you said, if it's a year where the young kids are going to get a chance to play, and not that winning is not going to be a priority, but, you know, if opportunities are going to be available for the, you know, future Cardinal core, I mean, those are certainly guys who, you know, we might see in August.
He is Daniel Guerrero. You read him in the Post-Dispatch, STL Today. Follow him on Twitter at TheDanGuerrero. Daniel, thanks for the time. As always, we'll see you down in spring training before you know it.
Cool. Yeah, thank you, Matt. Thanks for the invite.
You bet. Absolutely. Daniel Guerrero joining us, and we appreciate him taking a few moments with us. Really wanted to focus in on this show today, giving you an opportunity to certainly have a voice on all things going on with the Cardinals. Try to do that after weekends or moments where you know, big things come out, and that's certainly coming off winter warm-up weekend. So we still have time for your phone calls, your text messages, your tweets, and your voice messages if you want to call or text. The phone number, 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. Tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air, or leave a voice message via the Odyssey app. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Back at it on KMOX. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line. Have you for about 20 more minutes. We're done at 8, but you're not done with me. Tonight, the Gas House Gang. We've got a three-person edition after I missed it yesterday because I was on Cardinals Caravan. I make up for it by joining Kevin Wheeler and Tom Ackerman today. I'll tell you, we had some interesting conversations today about the Cardinals and kind of clearing the deck for Heim Bloom. Is that what maybe they're doing? I've been thinking about that a little bit since Brendan Donovan did not agree to a multi-year deal to try to avoid arbitration. And there's still a possibility of that happening. I think a good possibility of that happening. But I just wonder, anything that they do that is beyond this year, how much of that brings in Bloom to the conversation? Because you want to be respectful of what his roster is going to look like. And in no way, shape, or form am I saying that Bloom is like an anti-Donovan guy. I don't think anybody can be an anti-Donovan guy with what he does for you from a skill set standpoint, from a leadership standpoint, from just a production standpoint. I mean, he does so many things well. But I do think any deal that you sign that goes beyond 2025, I think at that point, you bring Bloom in on it. And the other side of this is one area where I'm actually very comfortable with the Cardinals lowering payroll this year with an assumption that it's going to come back in the future. So everything that I'm about to say is contingent upon the Cardinals restoring their payroll level at some point in the relatively near future, maybe 1 year from now. Would you rather the outgoing, and this has nothing to do with like John Mozeliak and his ability to make decisions and his ability, you know, just the quality of signings and things like this. This is, you could put any president of baseball operations in this spot. This, so there's nothing personal about John Mozeliak when I say this. Would you rather the outgoing president of baseball operations use a whole bunch of money to make decisions and bring in players? And when we're talking about that amount of money, you know, $60+ million, when we're talking about that amount of money, it's not just a bunch of 1 year deals. Like, these are deals that have wide ranging implications and multi-year sort of things. Would you rather John Mozeliak make those decisions right now and then Heim Bloom just have to deal with them? Or would you rather the team push that money to the side with the idea that it is eventually going to come back and then Bloom can use it to shape the team the way he wants it to be shaped? And for me, it's a pretty obvious answer, because sometimes you get stuck in like in-between land and it's the last thing you want. You see this a lot when new GMs or new president of baseball operations come in. And look, it's not just a baseball, it's any sport. That first year for a new final decision maker for a roster, you're always in no man's land because you've brought in some of your people, but there's also some people from the previous regime that are on the roster, and you aren't totally able to shape the roster the way you want it to be shaped. Now, no matter what, Bloom's going to be dealing with that a little bit. There are going to be people around that maybe would not be the first people that he would want to have on the roster. But by taking a step back, putting some money off to the side, figuring out exactly what you have with the current group, you allow Bloom to come in 2026 and create a roster that he is most comfortable with. And I think there's value in that. Not that you have to do it that way, but I do think there is a little bit of you know, value in that. Text message from the 618 said, just wondered about your opinion on this. If Bregman signs with Boston, would Arenado reconsider going to the Astros? I think Nolan just didn't want to interfere with Bregman's decision. The Astros don't have a spot for him anymore. You know, that was the, when the deal was agreed upon between the Cardinals and the Astros, at that point, Christian Walker had not yet signed with the Astros. So what they were able to do is they would have moved Isak Paredes from third base over to first base, and Arenado would have come in to be their third baseman. Well, Arenado rejects the trade. The Astros move on. They sign Walker. Walker will be their first baseman. Paredes will be their third baseman. There's no spot for Nolan Arenado. So even if Arenado would reconsider going to the Astros, there's no room at the inn. There's no spot on the roster anymore. The Astros have moved on. And that's where things continue to get complicated. If Bregman goes to the Red Sox, I have a hard time believing that Arenado gets traded before spring training. I'm starting to have a hard time believing that no matter what. But the Red Sox, to me, it feels like are the only team out there that Arenado would accept a trade to, and that they have the financial ability to pick up enough of his salary to make it, you know, worth the squeeze for the Cardinals. Detroit has been mentioned as a potential landing spot for Arenado if they don't sign Bregman, because they reportedly are in the Bregman sweepstakes. I don't know for sure, but if Arenado's rejecting a deal to the Astros, is he really going to go to Detroit? And does he really fit in Detroit? Like, there's a I have a hard time believing that he would leave the Cardinals and would waive his no-trade clause if he's traded to Detroit. And that certainly has not been a team that's been listed on, you know, his potential, you know, cities that he would like to go to. I think if the option is for Arenado, and I don't know Arenado that well, so it's a dangerous thing. I probably shouldn't even be doing it, but it's if I am to assess Arenado's thought process, I would think, again, I could be wrong on this, I would think that there is a higher percentage chance that he would rather stick with the Cardinals, bet on himself as a bounce back candidate, have a great start to the season, and see what happens across baseball, whether it's via injury, whether it's via lack of production from a third baseman, if one of his preferred landing spots, if all of a sudden they become in need of a third baseman and he has positioned himself to a place where he is even more marketable to get traded, I think he would rather take that route than take the route of accepting a trade to a place where he just really would not rather play. So that would be my thought. I could be wrong. I could be wrong on that for sure, but that's kind of where I'm at. Reading things, doesn't sound like Boston is the leading candidate team right now for Bregman. So maybe that, but we just have to, and this Bregman thing's taking too long. This Bregman thing is just taking way too long. Scott Boras has once again put his client in a really bad spot. We are, 3 weeks from pitchers and catchers reporting to spring training, and this thing hasn't been figured out yet. If you're Scott Boras, man, you gotta get these things done because other players are watching. Other players are taking note of the fact that these deals aren't getting done. And the fact that it is sitting here and we're it's January 21st, and players of the like of a Bregman, of a Pete Alonso, these guys are just out there like that can't happen. They gotta figure out a way to get that process moving on a little bit. Speaking of process moving on a little bit, we'll take one more break. We'll come back and we'll wrap up this edition of a Graybar Sports Open Line, and then get you to the Gas House, gang. It's all coming up here on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Starting to wrap up this edition of the program. Again, we've got the Gas House gang coming your way in just a few moments. Today's program, myself, Kevin Wheeler, and Tom Ackerman. So be tuned. I think we had a pretty good show today. Again, if you don't realize, we record that at 12 noon every day. You can actually watch it live and be interactive by leaving comments and things like that. You had hopefully you just subscribe to the KMOX Sports YouTube channel, and then you can set it up so you can get notifications when we go live. Tomorrow it's going to be me and Tom Ackerman. Thursday, I believe, is Kevin Wheeler and Bernie Miklas, and then Friday, me and Bernie. So we've got different grouping on an everyday basis. Did three people today after I missed the show yesterday because I was out on caravan. But it's been a lot of fun. And like I said earlier, the reaction that I was very surprised that the number one thing I heard from people when I was out in all these various cities over the last 2 days was how much they enjoy watching or listening to the Gas House Gang. So if you have yet to hop on the Gas House Gang bandwagon, well, you can start in about 9 minutes when we hit the air after the 8 o'clock news here on KMOX. So starting to wrap up our post-winter warm-up edition of a Graybar Sports Open Line here on KMOX. I've talked through most of the things that I wanted to get to, and I thought what Daniel Guerrero said when we had him on just a little while ago was important. He didn't use the word giddiness, that's my word, not his, but the excitement, the exuberance, whatever word you want to use to describe Jordan Walker. Because, man, this guy has every reason in the world to be down and out about his baseball career, just the way it's been, I don't know, handled is the word I was going to go with. I just don't like the way things went down the last 2 years. I think it could have gone a little bit differently. If you're trying to build a guy's confidence, I'm not sure that that was accomplished. In fact, I'm pretty sure the opposite of that was accomplished. And it feels like the opportunity for him to work with Brant Brown, the opportunity for him to spend the offseason again in Jupiter is just, he's got a new lease on life. And there's a lot of really smart people coming into the organization that are coming in from other organizations, and there's going to be more eyes on him. And Kevin Wheeler and I have talked about this before, so this is kind of a Kevin thing, but I'll take it as my own because I agree with it. When you're bringing in people from other organizations, it's not so much about getting rid of the way you've done things or getting rid of the way you've looked at things, but it is adding on. You can, this guy looks at it from this perspective, this guy looks at it from this perspective, you come together and eventually you get the best possible outcome, or at least a better outcome than what you have previously had with the way you've been doing things. And that's going to be a theme here moving forward as different folks come into this organization and start impacting players. You're going to start to hear more and more of what we've heard over the last few days. So when I see Jordan Walker just so excited about where his swing is going, the Cardinals tried to change some things with his swing, and rightfully so, because, look, you could not continue to go down the path you were going down with Walker, with what he was doing, where his swing had turned it, what it had turned into, really, this past year. I'm not talking so much about, if he would have stuck with where he was at for the second half of 2023 and progressed from there, it would be a different conversation. But you couldn't just keep going down the path that you were on with him when he can't touch anything low and away, when there's certain pitches that he can't hit, when he's pounding everything into the ground. But it sounds like, based off what he said, that the new approach to this is kind of getting back to where he was at and what he was, and then building on from there. So really building on from previous place as opposed to just completely changing. And this will continue to be one of the major keys about this team moving forward. If he can take a step forward, if he can be a middle of the order bat, an impact bat, that's going to go a long way towards this team being a little bit better than people expect them to be this year. That's going to do it for the program today. Again, we've got the Gas House Gang, myself, Kevin Wheeler, Tom Ackerman. We will be with you for another Gas House Gang. That begins after the 8 o'clock news right here on KMOX.